If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. If you're a regular listener to the show who's been listening lately, you would be aware that I've had a lot of guest hosts coming on to sort of help with the quantity of episodes that I do. And one of the guest hosts is on the show today. And so I think that, you know, people who heard that episode might have some idea of who you are. But for those who don't, if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what it is you do as a podcaster and beyond, that would be a great way to start.
For sure. Thank you, Sam, for having me on the show. My name is Ronald George Moore, and I host a podcast called the Manitoba Money Shot Podcast. I do two shows a week, three if you're a Patreon member. And I also like to interview Manitoba artists, much like yourself, musicians, actors,
yeah,
writers, anyone I think's really cool, basically.
That's
how it goes.
Well, and that's kind of why I wanted to have you on the show, too. This is kind of a long time coming. We should have done this ages ago. But yeah, I mean, I always like to promote other local podcasts, and what you're doing does have some similarities to this show in the sense that, yeah, you're talking to artists. You had Rummy Mays on recently. You did the BS Raps episode for my show. You're definitely involved in the music scene. And I always say that Witch Police is for interviewing local musicians and music scene adjacent people. And I think you qualify in that category.
Well, yeah, I don't really have an album or a single out there, but I feel like I should have one. But maybe by the time this out, I'll have something on Apple Music or something.
Right on. Yeah. So I guess what is, for people who aren't aware, what is The Money Shot? Because I have the podcast, because I've been on the show before, and there was this very interesting competition aspect of it at the end, and that kind of gives it its name. What's the deal behind the show?
You were the first winner, Sam. First guest to actually win The Money Shot. And basically, that's just a challenge of answering 100 questions within a 5-minute time period. And, you know, it's just rapid fire. Generally, I think it breaks down to about 3 seconds for the question and answer. So it's about myself and the guest working together as best we can to get through not just the answers, but the question and the answer.
Yeah.
And also, there's a few rules in there, but you can't just repeat the same thing. You can't just go blah, blah, blah. You have to basically keep it legit. And I always say 90% of the answers have to be true. If you, you know, for it to qualify, like if you say like you like cheese in the interview and then you say like you hate cheese in the rapid fire money shot, then that doesn't count. But it's never really gotten to that, because in the early days of when I'd interview a guest, I made the question so long and awkward that it was impossible to win. It was just impossible. So as I learned through doing the show, I made the questions much more easier and like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite this? What's this? And, you know, yes or no. And more easier for the guest to win.
Yeah. Well, it seems like just a matter of being able to talk fast and come up with answers quickly rather than come up with great answers, just come up with an answer. Just any answer, right?
Well, the idea of the show was first built on just the name, Manitoba Money Shot. I'm like, oh, that's a great name for a podcast. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I was like thinking, well, maybe it's a challenge of just answering questions and you would win money, and you did. I can't remember how much you won at the time, but it was like a growing pot. Every time someone didn't win, I just added another $2 or $3 towards the money shot. And so it must have been pretty nice for you.
Yeah, it was all right.
Out of that interview.
Yeah.
Now it's a great interview, Sam, because the thing I love about it is the editing and splicing in clips of the artist in the show. And you were in so many bands. It was so much fun just pouring over your work in the past and just finding clips that I could put in there. And I just really like that, almost like breaking up chapters to a story.
Yeah. Oh, and that's kind of, I like doing that on my show too, with using songs by the interviewees to sort of, because it breaks up the conversation a bit, right? You can, it just kind of makes a natural pause. If there is a natural pause in the discussion, you can sort of flow from one thought to another one by throwing some music or a clip or something in there. So I'm sorry you had to listen to my shitty bands, but you know, it worked.
No, you always say you have shitty bands, but I really fucking enjoy them.
That's good.
I think they're awesome. It's not just, you have your ska band, you have kind of your spacey trippy band, and then kind of like noise band. So it's very cool. And I love that you're still, you just put out a tape, a year ago?
Well, that was
ago, you re-released.
Yeah, that was old stuff. That was the Mothboat. It was all of the songs from the three EPs kind of crammed onto one tape. And it's not really a new tape, but it was a limited edition that Ancient Raven Records put out of all of our old crap. So it was cool.
But it's so much fun, right? It's so much fun to do that, just to be able to have something from, that you can pull up from your background and just say, hey, look what I did, you know? And even if you think it's shitty, a lot of people I know don't think that, so.
Well, no, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad that there are people who like it. It's that thing where you listen to something you do or read something you do or watch something you do, and there's always that, like, oh, this sucks. But the good parts about it are what everyone else is getting. That aside, though, I was going to ask you, how long have you been doing this show for? Because you've been sort of part of the Manitoba podcast community. We have those little meetups we do once a month. We try to sort of get all of the local shows involved and hanging out and talking shop and sharing ideas and stuff. And you've been coming for a while to those. So what's the timeline on your show?
Well, I think I started in 2018. 2018, where I simply wanted... that's what I did. I just was asking, you know, friends and people I admired if I would be able to interview them, you know, kind of like a Mark Maron style, you know, deep dive into like their career, where they're from and how they got to where they are. And then, but that would take 2 to 3 weeks to get an episode together. So I always just kind of felt like that's kind of like dead air. Like who's going to, you know, like with podcasting, it's great because the notification comes up, but I just wanted something a little more, you know, frequent in the show. Not only do I do the interview and edit it and add samples of the artist's work, I also like to, after the interview, I will take inspiration from it, like something, a little piece, maybe they've mentioned a restaurant or something, and I was making opening bits. So basically I felt like I'm going to do like a song or a sketch or pull something just from my past and to have it on display there at the beginning of the show. And I was doing that for the longest time until I realized, well, I kind of felt it was like an opening, you know, like an opening band for an artist, you know, like you go first and let the headliner go last. But then I realized that's kind of because like people will tune in for the guest, not for me. And then they have to sit through. Maybe they don't want to hear Robin's Donuts parody. You know, maybe they think it's that funny or they think that song is like. So the opening bit is at the end now, which I think is a much better flow. Well, anyways, what I'm getting at, it was a lot of work to do that. And I thought, you know, it's really, I should be putting out something a little frequent. And that's when I decided to do like the Tuesday Titter, which is basically just a rant. And then the Friday Foreplay, where I just kind of recommend something that's either going on in the city or maybe like a Burton Cummings album, one of your favorites, Sam. Or
yeah, just like anything. My views on Burton Cummings are well established, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. but this new album is not bad.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty good. Give it a listen.
I didn't even realize he had a new album, so yeah.
I know. You got to follow the man and know what he's doing.
Right, of course. Damn. I was following the lawsuit, and I talked about that at length on the Sean Geek podcast on an episode that's coming out too. And then this is kind of what I wanted to talk about is we have this community. I mean, that show, I've been on that show, you've been on that show, they've been on your show. We have Ruby with Living Through Extinction. We have Two Baked Girls. We've been on each other's shows there too. There's a nice little sort of gang of podcasters. That we've developed.
I think that's what's great. I think it's what's great about the local community here is like everyone kind of like listens to other shows. They know each other or at least get to each other. That's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's like going to Comic-Con. I remember when you guys were doing it, the last one at the Park Theater was huge. It was like a 3-day event and I didn't know anybody and I forced myself to go down because sometimes it's just so hard if you don't know anybody. And I had my kids at the time, but I had a bit of a babysitter for an hour. So I kind of poked my head in just at the right time when you said, all right, everyone on stage.
Oh, are you in that photo? Are you in the photo?
I'm in the photo. You have this big group photo. And basically I got in just for the photo and I kind of looked around. I was like, oh, there's Sam. You know, I just only knew you at the time.
Yeah.
But that was really a lot of fun. And I just really thought, you know, if I'm doing a podcast, you got to go all in and you just want to like promote and get to know each other. And it was since then, I've gotten to know a lot of people and it's just been a lot of fun. Not only meeting them, but I listen to a lot of the local podcasters in Manitoba.
For sure. And so do I. And then we have I'm on most of their Patreons and supporting them that way and stuff. And it's great. It's a nice little community.
Gosh, can I say this? People here might be from Portage la Prairie. They've been there their whole lives. And they're devouring each other. And they're looking for fresh blood, fist fight, that they can draw into their battles, fist fight. I said, I'm not interested. Oh my God, fist fight. And your body's just like shaking at the end. It's really like,
boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
It's really like,
boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
It's really like
a small little city called Portage la Prairie, smack in the middle of Saskatchewan, Ontario. Oh no, don't go, I hear it's very scary. Too many cunts, so be wary. So grab your eggs and your bread and your dairy. Get the essentials, all that you can carry. Don't stop to talk to the dead canaries, cause you'll be chatting up the cemetery.
Boom.
Don't like the
breeze.
Fist fight.
Boom.
Portage la Prairie. Fist fight.
Boom.
Fist fight.
Boom.
It's really like,
come see how big a Coke can be. Throwing more shade than a cottonwood tree. Hungry, then you get your Chinese. You love dicks, but not dictionaries. City of possibilities. More like passable amenities. Because bigger and better in Peggville, Winnie. Spinning your propaganda.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Boom!
Portage la Prairie. Fist fight.
Boom!
Mitch. Fist fight.
Boom!
Fist fight.
Okay, you got a very nice thrift store. I'll give you that. But everything else. Sorry. Oh, and I bought an air conditioner from the Walmart. The mall. Oh, yeah, and thank you for Pallister, by the way, from Portage la Prairie. Screw you and your ball jokes, okay? Keep them to yourself. Douche.
My hat's off to Portage la Prairie.
I have to ask you about the Robin's Donuts thing. I mean, for people who don't know, we meet at Robin's Donuts once a month, this sort of podcast group, and we were doing that for a while. And at some point, it just sort of dawned on all of us that you were very, very into Robin's Donuts. I mean, I think you're wearing a Robin's hat right now when we're talking. You
right.
have all the That's props. most of your social media is Robin's related. As someone who likes Robin's Donuts, as a casual enjoyer of Robin's Donuts, I kind of get it, but you take it to the next level. So what is the significance of Robin's to you?
Well, I get that question a lot, actually, because I do have a lot of things. I have a bit of a collection, as you said, and boy, was I jazzed when I was like, wow, they're meeting at Robin's Donuts? Oh my God. I remember once I went and I could not get it. I was just so shy. I couldn't go in. I was like, oh my God. But I think the attraction for me is it just reminds me of home and family, you
okay.
know, like back even when I was a kid, you know, after church in, I grew up in Fort Richmond, you know, like in the south end of the city, and there's a beautiful big Robin's Donuts there that my dad and mom would take me and my sisters to after church. And, you know, there really any occasion after a hockey game, ringette game, that kind of thing. And I think subliminally, that's where it came from. I think it took some therapy to realize that. But, and I just, I don't know, it's just fun to collect things. You know, I used to collect comic books. I used to collect, I don't know, other things, hats, I guess. But no, like Robin's Donuts. And just because, like, I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff that I didn't even know about. And even now, I'll show you right now, this one is my most recent thing.
Oh, nice.
Robin. Oh, I guess it's going to be blurred. But Robin's Donuts. Look at that logo. This Robin, I haven't found on any other piece of Robin's merch or hat, mug, thermos, whatever. This has got to be the original one. So
that's cool.
I'm like, wow, an amazing thing that Carolyn Gray, my girlfriend, got me. Hey, honey, how you doing? But I'll tell you something else since we're on Robin's Donuts. Since I know you're a fan.
Sure.
Do you know that 2020... what is it? Yeah. Next year, Robin's Donuts turns 50 years old.
Well,
okay. But according to Thunder Bay Museum, their 50th birthday is, what was it? September 10th, 2024. We missed it. Everyone missed. According to the Thunder Bay Museum, they've already had their 50th birthday, and like Robbins didn't recognize it on their Instagram or Facebook, or no one had, it just went, no one really cares about Robin's Donuts, I guess, except a few dying old people like me. So
what is the
it was just, I found that incredible.
Is there a goal with this collection of stuff? I was just saying, is there a goal with this collection of stuff you have? Because, I mean, not that you're going to make a Robin's Donuts museum or whatever, but like that thing you just showed me, that visor, the ancient logo, like that's pretty cool stuff to have. I don't think most people have even seen that logo, you know, who are around today.
Yeah. Let alone, like, I can't find it on the internet at all. It's just not there.
Yeah.
No, it's not on the internet. So, yeah.
Have you reached out to Robin's at all?
they know me. They definitely know me. I have been sent a backpack and a blanket, Robin's Donuts blanket, socks, Robin's Donuts socks. That's more like a contest they were having. And their parent, which is hilarious. I can't remember it. I was just dealing with them. I've left messages with them and they've never gotten back to me. And they usually have their sip to win contest. Donuts will have that every once in a while. And I read the rules and it said that you can enter as often as you want. You don't even have to buy anything. You just send them a letter with a self-addressed stamp. So I was sending them one every fucking day, like for a good 2-3 weeks. And they sent me back one envelope. I was like, what? And of course, it came with a little coffee roll up that said not a winner or whatever, you know? So, I've reached out to them and I've talked to some amazing employees in the 8 Robin's Donuts we have left in the province.
Yeah, it's sad. I only know of a few in Winnipeg and then the one in Gimli. I'm sure there's more and I'm sure you know where they are, but as far as Robin's though, like, I know it's not sort of the focus of your podcast, but have you ever thought of doing some kind of like Robin's history on your show? I mean, you seem to be like the the Robin's archivist as far as anyone else I've heard of, right? So, I mean, I don't know how difficult that would be to do, but like some kind of mini documentary on Robin's Donuts would be fascinating to listen to.
Well, you know, I'm not the only one for sure that loves Robin's Donuts, and I think that would be just too much work for me. Like as I said, when I get an interview, I put a lot of work into it, and then like the podcast just takes up a lot of time, and for that would have to be like a 6 episodic adventure, I think.
A miniseries.
It's also hard, as I said, we can't even pin down the date it was born in Thunder Bay, 1974, 1975. So it is interesting though, Sam. Maybe if I have some sort of staycation next year, I can focus on that. But there's just so much to do, not only in my personal life, but just to go see shows in the city. There's always something to do. So that's a hard one. Well, a hard one to pin down. I really do laundry.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's important too.
Tim Hortons is stupid. Tim Hortons is dumb. You call that coffee. I call it scum. It makes me wanna puke each and every time. You can stick your Timbits where the sun don't shine. So go roll up the rim and take a sip of ass. I'll be at Robin's Donuts. Robin's is the best. Robin's Donuts is the best. It's the best. It's the best. It's the best. It's the best. Robin's Donuts is the best. It's the best. It's the best. It's the best. It's the best. Robin's is the best. Robin's fast.
fast, fresh, and friendly.
But I just, you know, you mentioned going to shows, and I know you go to a lot of local shows, and, you know, I should probably try to tie this into to local music somehow, because it's sort of the theme of my podcast here. But what is your, like, how long have you been going to shows? What's your experience in the local music scene as a clunker goer?
Oh, gosh. Well, since the 90s, I guess, you know, like, yeah, probably about the early 90s. Well, it's like everyone that had friends who were in bands. You want to support your friends, you go see their bands.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was going to quite a few, like in the Pyramid too. The Pyramid was always a great place to catch Canadian bands traveling in and out of the city, you know, like, I don't know, that big jazzy one from Montreal. So, Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler.
Yeah,
I remember every time they came to town, that was always a thrill. And just like, cause I love to dance. I love to sing. I'm a song and dance man, really. And then, so yeah, it was just so much fun. I love just going to these shows and just kicking up the feet and just having a blast, you know, like, and so, but also the best part about Winnipeg is like, you know, it's not like, it's kind of known as a heavy metal rock city, I guess, but you get so much flow of different styles and genres. It really exposes you to other, you know, outforms. It's just me on my show, man. I wish I could edit. That's the one thing. Giving up the control to you is hard, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I'd love to go and see shows. I just, it's so much fun, you know. It's just, yeah, I don't dance as much, but I still drink as much, I guess.
Fair enough. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot here or anything, but I know you play music sort of off the grid. You know, you're not actually playing shows or anything. Have you, has that always been the case for you? You're just kind of doing it as a, like a side fun thing, or had you ever had aspirations to, you know, go out and play a lot of shows and stuff like that?
Yeah, I always wanted to be in a band myself. You know, I took piano lessons and, guitar lessons, and I'm just shit. Like, I just cannot, I'm no good. I can keep a rhythm on a guitar, but I do not have the, dexterity or talent that really would impress or interest anyone, but I do like this thing. So I've been in bands as a singer and a bass player. I've done fringe shows where I did a whole fringe show called Solid Gold Moor, and the whole idea of the show is you spin a wheel, and then whatever would come up on the wheel would be like the sketch or song that we would do. And
cool.
So I had a few songs in that show. I did a show as Fat Gord Downie once, which was a lot of fun, at the Cavern, where it was me and my band. We just did Tragically Hip covers, but I just ate the entire time. I would sing Gord Downie songs and try to do my best impression of him. And while eating spaghetti and Cheetos and getting a head rush from a Slurpee and that. And that was like so much fun. So I'd really love to bring that back. But of course, with the tragedy of his passing, you can't really, I don't know if Fat Gord Downie is the way to go, but you know, at some point in the future, I'd love to be in a Tragically Hip cover band, and that'd be so much fun. I have like a song called Dead Poodle, Fucking All Day. Some of these songs are attached to, as I said, opening bits to the artists on the podcast. And
yeah,
if you do go to the Money Shot podcast on SoundCloud, if you go to the playlist, you can see a list of all the artists. And each one of those artists does have an opening bit, whether it's a Kern Hill co-op parody of their commercial, as I said, or like, I really do love my Robin's Donuts. The two guys, George Spencer and Harvey Cardwell, I've just done parodies of them for some reason, still doing Robin's Donuts commercials. And it's like five or six I've done over the years, and I'm still pretty proud of those. So it's just fun to keep creative in that way, I find.
Like, for sure.
Something to do.
Well, I like the kind of performance art aspect of it too, like the Fat Gord Downie thing. I mean, you can do that with some other singer and still do eating spaghetti. I mean, I'd love to watch someone eating spaghetti while trying to sing, just to eat in any context, right? So I think it's a reusable.
Well, I don't know if it was around that time, but wasn't there like the Pizza Underground?
Yes.
And it was a little bit underground, and like, they were just eating pizza the whole show?
Yep.
Or maybe they were singing about pizza.
I can't remember, but there was also someone made a video podcast around that time, and it was just about pizza. They would make a pizza and eat the pizza and just talk about pizza the whole time. And it only lasted a few episodes, and I wish it had gone longer, because the concept was hilarious. It was just, they're just sitting there eating pizza.
It wasn't Sean Keek and Fast Fred. They're obsessed with pizza these days.
They are, yeah. So. I was on their show recently. They asked me about toppings first thing.
Yeah, I heard that. That's good.
So with your show, I mean, for people who are unfamiliar with it, Is there, because I mean, with my show, I have so many episodes that if someone asks what episode should you listen to, I just say, listen to the newest one, you'll get the idea, or look through the guests and see if there's an artist you like. Is there a starting point that you would direct someone to for the Manitoba Money Shot, or is it the same kind of thing, just pick one that...
I definitely recommend going to the playlist, it's not only is do I put the most work into those episodes, I always feel really fortunate that I have someone, and that, you know, there's some guests I've never met before until they came over to my place, and we just talk, and I always find that that's really exciting, you know, to have not only the interviewing this person I really admire, but it's the first time we ever spoke to each other. I think that's pretty cool. And then, like, occasionally I'll, like, for the Friday foreplay, I would talk about something I really like, and then I'm like, well, this is, why don't, it just felt kind of strange talking about, like, say, someone's new album, and them, and, you know, they're not there. Someone's like, hey, I really like your album, can we talk about it? Like, Milt Homley, I've never met him before. He released this fantastic album.
It's a good record.
Oh, my God. What's it called? Window Pane.
Dirty Pane, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to get a hold of this guy. I just talked to him. And it was awesome. That's one of my favorite ones, actually. Milt Homley. And that's a Friday foreplay. I was like, I just wanted to interview someone without the, you know, a little shorter.
Yeah.
Not the rapid-fire questions. I don't like losing money. And so that's all. I'm not sponsored. There's nobody giving me money. If somebody wins $10, it's coming out of my pocket, gee. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's rough.
For sure.
So I would say that. I would say go to the playlist, see if there's someone you're interested in. And there's going to be many, many, obviously, many people that you're interested in, because I am as well. And they're just fantastic. And that was it. I just want to share the Manitoba Gold with everyone. That was the reason I started it. That's why I do it.
That's awesome. Do you have a an episode count at this point? Because I know you have all these extra episodes. No. I imagine you have quite a few with those, you know, the foreplay and titter and all these things.
Right. Well, then I think about year two, I was like, oh, Patreon, what's this? Oh, this is a way, you know, I could, if someone wanted to support the show, I can have a Patreon. But then what am I going to do on Patreon? So then I kind of removed some of the early Tuesday Titters, which I used to call Tuesday Tango, and Friday Foreplays, and I took them off the SoundCloud, and I just moved them to the Patreon. But it's weird. Patreon's still, I don't really understand it that well, and I was never one. I'm like, if everyone's going to just do something, I'm going to do the opposite as best I can, right? And everyone labels their episodes, this is episode 72 or whatever, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So I really don't know how many episodes that I've done. I think it's around 500, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Just seeing how prolific you are, because I mean, I think I give you a buck a month on Patreon, and I obviously subscribe to your show and everything, and you're constantly churning out content. So I'm glad you're still doing it too. Like, I'm glad you're still actively putting out that much stuff.
Yeah, well, I figure it's pretty much one of those things where, like you know, it's just something you love to do, and you're not going to retire, you're not going to stop, you're going to keep doing it until So the Patreon, I was like, well, what can I do in this? And I'm like, well, I'll do a fucking third show. You know, I'm doing two a week, I'll just do a third one just for the Patreon members, call it Sunday Swallow.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna talk directly to the people who have signed up. And so far there are six who I call the Super Sexy Six, you being one. I've given y'all nicknames. You're the Sarge, and it's just a lot of fun, you know. It's just really fun. And then I also apologize. I fuck up constantly in my life, especially with my girlfriend. I'm always making mistakes at work and shit. So generally, every week I'll apologize for something I messed up, and it's really not that hard. Especially to an audience of six, you know.
Yeah, I guess so, right? But it helps that it's a limited audience, and you know all of them too, right? It's all people I assume that you know personally.
Yes, exactly. So it's direct. I don't know if I've apologized to you, Sam, but generally it's to the people of the Patreon but anyways, it's just a lot of fun. It's something to do, you know, that's what I liked about it, because I just found, like, you know, you've been in a couple bands here and there, but, you know, once they go away, you're like, well, what do I do now? And it's just, you just got to just got to find something to do with your time, you know?
I think the podcast thing is become the new sort of DIY punk rock in the sense, like not you know, but like we're making punk rock music or anything, but like the kind of aesthetic of it, where it's you have nothing, you start from scratch. Like the Sean Geek podcast, they started on a cell phone, they started talking to each other on a phone,
and recording.
Right? And so there's this really low barrier to entry for podcasting, and I think that's why it's so awesome, is because anyone who has something to say, whatever it is, they can hit record, throw it on the internet, and then it's out there. And obviously there's next levels and stuff for recording equipment and quality and putting it onto the internet properly, but you can just do it. And I think that a lot of people get discouraged because they think they need to have some kind of fancy production, but I think that...
Yeah, like, you know, and that was the thing, how I started. Like, I didn't know what the hell how to do it. Also, the reason I started podcasting is because I was listening to a lot of podcasters because I've been having driving jobs my whole life, so it's a lot of radio, and then all of a sudden I'm driving a vehicle with Bluetooth, so I'd be playing podcasts. I'm like, oh my god, what is this Ashley Burdett talking Hanks? That was like my first one, where I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. This is a Winnipegger.
Yeah, that was a local show. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I really loved it. I was like, well, how do you do that? So I just went on YouTube, like, how do you start a podcast? It's that simple. And I was just like, go get some stupid mics and figure out the RSS thing, and anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. It's easy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that hopefully our little group of podcasters is trying to encourage anyone to do it. I mean, that's kind of the idea behind it in the first place, right? It was like, A, get to know each other because we're all doing the same thing, but B, just like convince people to keep going because I don't want to be the only one doing it.
I don't know, Sam. You're like kind of like... The kingpin of the podcasters, I would say, in the province. Definitely, we think we were talking about this before, how it's like, I can't think of anyone who's been doing it longer than you in the city. But you were saying there's a couple of sports guys somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's the sports guys and some video game guys that are not sort of as public as the rest of us are, you know, that just kind of do that. I'm sure they have decent audiences that are really clued into their thing, so...
And that's the other thing about it being yourself, right? Because it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah, you can stop for whatever and then pick it up in 2 years. Like, congratulations on your nomination for the Loud Awards. but I believe the winner didn't even have an episode of their podcast come out in the last year. So it's kind of like, wow, they did it. And they may do it again now that they won the Loud Award.
Well, hopefully, right? I mean, it'd be nice to see. That's a whole other thing, that the Loud Awards. But at least it's giving recognition to somebody who has done it, and maybe it'll convince them to keep going. But with your show, where do people find it? How can someone tune into an episode of the Manitoba Money Shot or any of its offshoots?
I like to tell people that, well, it is the truth. We're on SoundCloud. I chose SoundCloud.com, which I don't know is the best homepage for, or not homepage, they're not known for podcasting. Like, there's other sites like, I think Podbean,
right.
You know, usually a pod title, they're pretty much focused on podcasting, but SoundCloud's more music oriented. I get tons of emails all week telling me that they really like my cool tune. And I'm like, it's not even a fucking song. But anyway, yeah, SoundCloud.com. You can look up the Manitoba Money Shot podcast there, or on Apple Music, Stitcher.
Stitcher's dead now, I think, right?
I know, I am the worst at keeping up with all the little things. And that's the other thing why I'm so impressed with you, Sam, is because you're so good at updating and getting out on social media, like, what's coming up? I just recorded this. It's coming out here. Have you listened to it? Last chance, I'm going to remind you. You know, like, you're good at
that. It's a routine. It's a routine. It's the checklist, right? It's like, this day I do this, this day I do that. And that's all it is.
Right. Wow. Well, it's just amazing. And you know who else is good at that is Michael from The Real Debaters.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, like not only, and the quality of his posts are insane, like just so good. And I also love the fact that they're more than just podcasts. They're doing live events. They're doing movies. They're at Comic-Con, you know, they're fucking at the Fringe asking people, you know, which is better, theater or film. So a lot of great local stuff here. The Manitoba Money Shot podcast on Instagram and YouTube. TikTok runs was more. I gotta get more into that. I don't really do much of that.
I don't get it. I have TikTok, but I don't get it. I have it where I just post anything video related. I just post it on there. Hope for the best. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to get engagement on it or whatever. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't know who's reading, watching it or whatever, but it's there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have time for that. I can't get into the stats and that kind of stuff. Like, SoundCloud does give me results of who's listening around the world, and that's really cool. But other than that, I it's hard to learn a new platform when you already have enough trouble with the one you're already on, right? So SoundCloud is basically. I do love SoundCloud though. I'm not trying to shit on them, but like they're really good to use for podcasting simply because if you upload a file and you listen to it, you know, like just in your car or whatever for volume sake, and then if something's wrong. You could, and I think this is common, but I didn't realize this, but you could re-upload the file without changing the view count or listen count.
Yeah, or the link stays the same. People who are going to, they can go back to it and it'll be the same. For sure. Yeah.
So
I was going to say, obviously SoundCloud is where you want people to go to hear it, but if someone wants to find out more about the show and maybe what you're doing, whatever you're posting on social media as far as upcoming episodes, look at pictures of Robin's Donuts shit, what's the best way to find you sort of outside of SoundCloud? Where can they follow your antics?
Well, I guess it would be Instagram is, so it's the_Manitoba_MoneyShot_podcast, right? And don't write it out on underscore, obviously. And then also, you can always email me. I do have an email address, themanitobamoneyshotpodcast@gmail.com. I started a year ago. I received one email from some platform that, I don't know. You get so many emails about stuff there. It's just crazy. I don't trust anything on the internet, any kind of email, except yours, listener. If you email me a question about Manitoba or whatever, I don't care. But any platform of saying they want me to join their service, I can't do that.
It's questionable. But people should go to SoundCloud. They should go to your Instagram. I'll link to all that in the show notes. And I really like your show. I'm glad you're still doing it. I'm glad you've been tenacious at putting out content for all these years. And I hope you continue to do it for many more. And I'm glad that the podcast community introduced me to you and all these other people too. Now I consider to be friends, and I'm happy to listen to everything you're doing too.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I do apologize. This should be a Sunday swallow, but I apologize, and I have apologized for this because I have a real hard time getting the episode out on the day. Like, I'm already, like, what is it? Tuesday Titter was yesterday, and I haven't put it out yet. And that's only because I like to record in the morning with a fresh cup of Robbins in my hand. And my girlfriend, she goes to Fit Club, so the house is empty. And that's the best part. Usually, if she comes home, I can still do it. But once it's after work, I'm done. I can't do it. It's got to be in the mornings.
So. Right on.
But generally, I'll try to keep it on time for you folks.
Sounds good.
I remember it like it was yesterday, when in fact it did not happen yesterday. It was May 2002, specifically 3:30 in the afternoon. Not looking good, the weatherman explained. Cloudy with a 50% chance of rain. We're ready and set in the kitchenette. You wanna go for a walk, and yeah, you're gonna get wet. You're getting all excited, all prepared to run. You gotta go outside and get your business done. So I opened the door, which gave you reason to bark, because you know what it means. We're on the way to the park, which is down the block. But I'm grabbing a leash. Cindy's got strict bylaws, capiche. She ran outside before I could class, but that dog ran out into the middle of traffic. Fuck! No! No!
Get put on. Get put on. Get put on.
Dead poodle there, poodle there, poodle there, poodle there, poodle there, poodle there, fuck! She flew through the air with the greatest of ease, and I ran up to her, falling to my knees. I said, gee, please believe if I could take it back, I'd be the dumb dog lying on her back. Ah, saving lives is what I'm all about. Fly to the yard, go and mouth this down, and then heck, holy cow, I hear a bow-wow-wow. She started walking around, just have to get in plowed. I looked in her eyes, and her thoughts were clear.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Walking around and I'm thinking sweet, but instead of the curb, she walked back on the street. God damn it! No! You stupid idiot!
Dead poodle. Dead poodle. A dead poodle. Dead poodle.
Dead poodle. Dead poodle. Dead poodle. Dead poodle. Dead poodle. She flew through the air without the greatest of ease. She bounced off a truck, hit a couple of trees. The bark decided to take its bite, but she didn't even have a chance to put up a fight. Lying in a pool of her own blood. Well, not so much a pool, more like a flood. And I thought, okay, game over, that's it. No more nibbles and licks, no more kibbles and bits. This I'm not gonna fix. Over and out, I started to pout, I started to shout. I raised my fists up to the sky and yelled, why, Snuggles? Why?
Snuggles, the little dog Snuggles.
What? Oh my god, the impossible happened. The dog wasn't dead, it was only napping. And just when the day couldn't get more frightening, out of the sky there came a bolt of lightning. No, fuck! Dead poodle, 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 dead